Finally, we have come back to the podcast.
Welcome to the MIB podcast, where we help you chase your dreams side by side. And now, your hosts, Mike and Talia Osborne.
Hello, hey everybody.
Mike, you're listening to the
podcast.
Hope everybody's having a fantastic week. We're back.
Yeah, we've been gone for a while. It's been like 2 weeks.
Yeah. So, in the words of The Rock, finally, the Osbournes have come back to the podcast. And we've just been busy.
Yeah.
No other way to say it. It's been ridiculously busy. And yeah. We had planned on recording a podcast today for like a week, and that was 3 weeks ago. So 3 weeks later, we're still here. Still no, yeah. It's just been a lot going on.
Yeah.
And everybody should know, right? Everybody's probably doing the same thing this week, at least, that we did. We binged Cobra Kai, season 2 that came out. If you didn't watch it, you should.
If you didn't watch season 1, you need to watch that first and then go watch season 2, which is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you'll thank yourself. I mean, YouTube Premium, you don't have commercials, which is great.
Yeah.
And then you get Cobra Kai. That's it.
That's all you need. It's totally worth it.
To me, it's well worth the money of what it probably costs for Netflix just for one thing. But nostalgia overload, Cobra Kai season 2 was great. Of course, everybody and their mom went out this weekend and saw Avengers Endgame.
If you have not seen Avengers Endgame, what are you doing with your life?
Bring your tissues. When you go, people die. Just letting you know. Spoiler alert. But definitely worth watching. Probably the best Marvel movie made to date. The Russo brothers that directed it, my hat's off to you. Unreal. Amazing, amazing job.
So good.
Yeah. And besides that, I've been coaching the softball team, my daughter's softball team, a lot. And that's been an absolute joy.
If you didn't notice, that was sarcasm in his voice.
I hope parents are listening to this today, to be honest, because, man, like, it costs me money not to be working, right? Me and Talia sell, majority of our income comes from Amazon reselling, eBay reselling, and Poshmark reselling now. So those three things make us a majority of our income. And then we have private labeling and funnel building and a lot of other things, maintaining the website, YouTube channel, all these different things we have to get done, right? And as you see, they've been going to the wayside because I've been spending my time coaching these kids that don't listen to a word I say.
Yeah.
It's different. When I was a kid, when the coach told you to do something, you did it. Unless it was morally wrong, which I'd never had a coach do that. Yeah. I wasn't an SVU case. Oh, on Law and Order. I literally was told to hustle. Obviously we didn't have cell phones back then, but I would never, ever, ever be on my cell phone in the middle of a game.
Yeah.
But my girls do.
Well, before we get too far into that.
And they're 11.
guys, if you haven't checked us out on Facebook, do that today. Facebook.com/MIBpodcast. And we love to hear your success stories. So you can send those over to info@themibpodcast.com. That way we can share your success stories with our network and let them know what you got going on. And hopefully we've been a help in that process. And if you've earned your first $100, $1,000 or above, we would be happy to share that with everybody. We're excited for you in your future. So send us those emails. And today's episode, before we get too deep into our rant on the softball team, which does tie into the message, so don't, think we're just rambling. Married and Always Hustle, episode 91.
Yeah, and I came up with this episode today while sitting at church, and I text my wife, and she's sitting right next to me, but I text her so we had the title as like something to go over in for the podcast. And it was, Married and Always Hustle. So I figured that's perfect when it comes to a story that I'll start out with about this weekend softball doubleheader we had and marriage, business, life, everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and we have kind of funny cause I have two parts cause Talia always likes to write notes that we can go over real quick, and her notes about what she thinks about what I'm talking about is completely different than what I actually think.
Yeah.
So we'll go from there. Mine will be a little bit better than hers.
What? But excuse me?
But she'll check it out. And look, she, even my wife is on her phone.
I have an idea for our podcast, and I wanted to write
it down on a piece of paper like old people do, right? Okay. So the whole point of all this was that is this weekend we had a doubleheader. We played two games, and our first game we won, which was our first game winning. I think this was our sixth or seventh game in the season. We lost every game. Yeah. And not did we lose. We lost royally.
Oh, awful.
By over 20 points every game. 20 points. We're playing softball. We're not playing basketball. Not playing football. 20 points or 20 runs. I'm sorry. So we are absolutely getting crushed. But our team is very good. They actually – there's a lot of talent on the team. They can crush the ball. They hit really well. And they field – they're just having problems fielding. It's like every time they got the ball, it was the first time they ever received a softball, and they had no clue where to throw it. And we just couldn't figure it out. And like no matter what we told them to do, whatever, they just didn't care. And then being 11, 12 year old girls, whatever reason, they just know everything, and not they just don't listen. It's me and another guy coaching. And maybe I wish there was another woman coaching or something that would help. But I honestly don't know. And I mean, I'll be the first one to say I'm clueless when it comes to women, even though I have four daughters and a wife. I have no freaking clue what I'm doing, right? But I do know how to play softball. I know how to play baseball. I know how to throw people out. I know how to hit. This is, you know, I've did that forever. And when I was a kid, I just worked my butt off. I hustled. That's how I beat everybody.
Yeah.
I didn't even play until I was 11 years old. I went from YMCA coach pitch to the, you know, I played 1 year of Little League after that, 11, 12-year-old and on. I was on the all-star team, high school, played ball, and I outworked everybody, and that was the whole thing. I don't know any better. I was never that most athletic or this or that. I had a great arm, and I tried really hard. And when I practiced by myself when I had to.
Yeah.
Like, that's the difference. These girls practice only when we're there, and they give us half effort when they're at practice. Half time they're on their phone, they're gossiping, they're talking about boys, whatever. It's so frustrating, right?
Yeah.
So this weekend comes up, and my daughter is the only person I expect to actually listen to me. And a ball gets hit. She's playing left field. It goes over her head. Now, if she would have ran after it, it would have been a good catch if she could make it.
Yeah.
She might not have been able to make it.
But she would have been there.
But she would have been close.
Yeah.
She watched the ball go over her head, and then after it hit the ground, she never moved for the ball until I yelled, "What are you doing? Run, run! What are you doing?" And she just assumed that the center fielder was going to get it even because she was faster. But Bella was actually in left field where the ball was at.
She was closer, yeah.
That's where our story starts off. It's kind of bad, right? But that was her position. She did not do anything. I benched her the next inning, and she says, "I ruined her life because I embarrassed her in front of all of her friends." I said, "You embarrassed me in front of all the parents that don't care." You know, it's unreal. You just literally did nothing. And if I were you, I would actually be working harder because I am your dad.
Yeah.
But she doesn't.
Nope. Yeah, so – and, you know, it's really hard to sit in the stands and watch – this stuff happened because I'm not a coach and I can't do anything except pull Bella aside.
Excuse me.
Pull Bella aside after the fact and kind of try to talk her through what just happened. And if she was wrong or right, which she's wrong. And so it's, you know, one of those things where it's kind of like a life lesson. You know, you're trying to teach your kids through sports about hustling, about work ethic, right? Something that they can carry into a job or into a business or into a relationship or whatever they're going to carry it into. But it's very hard when the people around you are doing the same thing you are, and that's what you see. So that's the example that is set for you, and that's what you think you're supposed to do, even though you have a coach in your life who is showing you and teaching you and trying to get you to do what you need to do.
Yeah, which is the same thing we always talk about, the average of the five people you spend most time with. And Bella, she's goes right to the girls that, and she did this last year. She played up to the level of what the team played to, and they were terrible.
Yep.
But the first year she played,
she had
a hard team. I mean, a really good team.
Yeah.
So she played up to their level, and she tried to get their whatever. If your team's not that good, or really, my team is good. If you're listening, you are very good. If you just start freaking playing hard, if you hustle. You'll accidentally get lucky sometimes if you just try a little bit harder.
Yeah.
But I digress. But this year, she's literally playing down again because she's just good enough to make sure she plays basically the whole game. And she hits well. She doesn't, can't catch a pop fly to save her life. Can't doesn't bend down to get a ball. It's whatever, right?
Yeah.
So now we'll go with what Talia thinks about Married and Always Hustle.
Okay, so guys, when I heard Married and Always Hustle, my thought was that no one is going to work your business as hard as you do or harder than you do. So if you have employees, you know this is true, right? Mike and I had employees.
And you guys.
You guys were awesome. And that's why you're no longer around. Anyways, so if you give 100%, most likely your employees are going to give 50, 75%. 75 if you're lucky and you get a really good one, you'll get 75% out of them. If you're not as lucky and you are like Mike and I were, you might get 25%, you might get 50. Average 50, we'll go with that. So say you, as the owner, only give 50%. Well, now your employees are only giving 25%. So if you expect them to do more than you or to do it better than you, probably not going to happen, right? So that's why it's important for you to really step in, step up, make sure that you're taking care of your business. And if you're alone and you're not doing 100%, giving 100% in your business, what's the point? Why are you even in business? You have to ask yourself that. Seriously, you have to sit down and say, I'm really not putting in the effort that I should. I'm really not doing everything I know I should do. So why am I doing this? Should I be doing something else? These are the things you should think about, because you're just wasting your time spinning your wheels for no reason, especially if you can't think of a reason why you're doing it or why you're not putting in the effort. You know, if you think about those things, and maybe it is, okay, I need to figure this part of my business out, and that's why I haven't been trying so hard, because I know this part of my business isn't where it needs to be. So work on getting that part up to par, and then you can put in 100% and make a successful business.
Mm-hmm. And that was how it was when we got employees. We said, we're doing $40,000 a month in sales on Amazon, just with me and Talia kicking butt, taking names, right? Mm-hmm. We said, we're going to hire 3 more people. And, but our efforts are going to go down because we now are working out of a warehouse, not out of home. So we kind of shrink in our schedule. Mm-hmm. So maybe we took our 100% and turned it to 70% or something, or maybe 60%. And because we had less time to work, but that was the point. We wanted to have a regular life where we could work just during business hours and cut it or leave it at the warehouse. And we'd have our own time. We figured we'd have that. And then we'd have 3 employees. We could take that 40,000 at least turn to 100,000 in sales.
Oh yeah, for right? Sure.
Our best month with employees went from 48,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
We did more in sales during a 30-day sprint last December than we did in our best month with 3 extra people working full time or working 32 hours.
Yeah.
I mean it's pretty close,
yeah,
right?
As close as you can get to full time. Yeah.
It was very, very, very problem. And that's the whole definition of synergy. You take one person, they can lift 300 pounds. You take 2 people, all of a sudden you're lifting 1,000. That's the whole point, is you get more out of 2 people working, at least trying to work, as giving the same effort.
Right.
And it was just sad. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
And that's how it is with baseball. If you literally have, or any weak link of any chain or anything else, you just don't give effort, you're just not going to do any good. Right?
Yeah.
So every ball gets hit the shortstop, and that girl's just not doing anything all day, and that's not what happened with us, but the ball just keeps going past them. There's nothing worse than a pitcher that pitches very, very well, or a quarterback that throws the ball very well, and they're just dropping passes.
Yeah.
Right?
The team's not doing their
part. I'm throwing strikes. People are hitting it. It's going in people's gloves, falling on the ground, and then they throw it over first baseman's head or whatever else. There's nothing worse than the person that's doing really, really good. And that was me and Talia. We are the quarterbacks. We are the pitchers of our business. And we were doing working hard, doing everything we do, did everything right. And the backup people were just not hustling.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I guess if you're in a position where you're hiring people, you really want to make sure you're hiring people who will hustle, because you can hire the wrong people and they can screw your business up. So just beware. But that's enough about that.
Well, that comes to another point. Yeah. That I heard Gary Vaynerchuk say one time, Gary V was like, that one of his best qualities was he was very quick at firing people. Like, if he hires somebody, they fold him, they interview so well, he didn't see it through their BS, and they got in the system over at VaynerMedia, he was easily, quickly, like, able to fire them because he was just stopping the bleeding before it, like, got it even started almost.
Yeah.
They saw that, okay, this is a mistake, here's a severance package, hit the road. And that's kind of what you have to do in a lot of cases. Or you just need to know that you're just not people that should have employees. Me and Talia probably shouldn't. We love people too much. We see through their flaws. We kind of try to help them. And that's not a good, you know, good traits when it comes to hiring people, right? Yeah. Because we can see the best in everybody. And I think you should, as, you know, good human beings. But they will ruin your business. That's just the truth. And that's what happened with us. When I talked about hustling and this, we talked about with always hustling, I just remember all these different quotes back from my history and being like learning business in the last so many years. And one I instantly came up was winners always move fast. Right.
Yeah.
And I remember that because the guy was talking about cold contacting or cold calling and things like that. And this is back in what multi-level marketing. And then I used the same strategy when it came to cold calling people, businesses on the phone for advertising when I was selling that. And it's always like, how many people could you dial, right? How many more people? And that's what stockbrokers would do, right? They would call more people and they just keep calling and calling and calling. And they would literally, I remember one guy said he had a finger because he was doing the rotary dialing back then, remember, with Chris Gardner. And Chris Gardner said his finger was almost turned sideways because he turned so many rotary dials and whatever. And he could figure out exactly how much time he had between phone calls and blah, 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 blah. And that was his key to winning. He had a good sales pitch. He was very good with people, but he literally called more people than anybody else did because he had less time than everybody else. So that's something that makes sense. You know, if you're out there trying to meet people to put them into your multi-level marketing company, shake more hands than everybody else, introduce yourself to more people than possible. Right. That's what we heard back then.
Yeah.
Remember?
Oh yeah. And then there's a great book to go along with that. One I actually read. You guys know I don't read very much, but I do listen pretty good. So Go For Now is a great book if you're in sales, and I thought it was great. It's the one book, one of two that I think I read when I was in multi-level marketing. But Go For Now is great because it really helps you to get your mind around, you know, setting your number of no's that you want versus how many yeses you're trying to get. So if you go through so many no's, you know, you're going to get a yes eventually. So I really like that book, and I think that that's a really good motivator and getting you in the right direction if you're into the whole sales calling and door knocking and all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So that's the thing. Winners always move fast. Pick up your pace, keep your head up, move fast. That's what we always hear. So the other thing I remember was the only way to get rich is get rich quick. And what does that mean? Like, the only way to get fast is turn a millionaire. Freaking right now. It's because you work harder than you ever can, right?
Yeah.
There's no more time where in your prime that you're going to have more energy, more gusto than you have right, you know, in your 20s and 30s. No more time. I mean, outside maybe your teenage years, but you're only thinking about like two things at that point, right? Food and women, or vice versa. So literally, that's when you have to go for it, right? So these people that are, now let me back up, because everybody knows we like Dave Ramsey and we believe in his system, but there is, most people aren't, what's the word for it, I guess, like strict enough on themselves. They're not committed enough to putting all their money into a 401k. They like, you know, they want the immediate fun stuff. They want to have all the, and I said this, I bought a Corvette back when I was right before we had our first daughter, like 11, 12 years ago, because I felt like I earned it. I didn't earn crap. I went and got a loan. How do you say like you deserve something that you can't pay for?
Yeah.
Right. So I digress. Either point, I did that. And I think that's what a lot of people are like these days. So they can't get rich long term. They can't wait to be a millionaire by age 60 because they won't do what's necessary at age 30 to slowly build wealth, right? Yeah. Putting money into mutual funds and stock markets or whatever else and just safe investments. They won't do that at a young age. So it is important to be get rich quick, right? And the only way to get rich quick is to hustle.
Move quick.
Yeah. So me and Ty always said, I always said, my whole goal was to build a company so fast, so big, so quickly that we sold it for multi-million dollars and we threw it in the bank. We never had to worry about money ever again. Now he can do stuff for fun instead of just for money and let the money grow. Like, we don't have to be multi-gajillionaires. I just want to make sure that the kids are taken care of and the wifey's okay when I'm gone. That's basically it, right? But that was what we talked about. And we used to hear that all the time back in multi-level marketing years ago. And I still believe today, is these always quote the Bible. They say, hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Yeah.
And I couldn't agree more than in anything, really, right?
Yeah. I mean, when you push back on hope and you have no hope, you know, you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting. And people have been waiting for their dreams to come true and, you know, for all these things to happen. And when you lose hope, that's like the worst thing ever, because that's when people get into depression. That's when people start focusing on other things and forgetting about their dreams because they think it'll never happen. So it's really important to make sure that you're hustling to make, you know, those things happen so you can keep having your hope, keep pushing forward through all the storms that come along the way. If you're not moving quickly, you know, your hope can start to fade and then your heart will be sick. You'll be depressed. You'll be upset. You'll want to go to the next thing because it didn't happen fast enough. Well, maybe you just didn't move fast enough. Mm-hmm. So something to consider.
There's two things that can slow you. I mean, really that stop you from making it in almost anything in business anyway, is you're not hustling. I mean, somebody's out there kicking your butt. Mark Cuban says that all the time, is somebody's out there every day trying to kick your butt to take your customers, like every day. And he says it in a different way, but that's basically what's happening. If there are people out there outworking you, you're going to lose. I mean, if you have the same type of business and you're not making it different in any way or outworking that the situation, you can't win. You're going to lose. You're going to go backwards.
Yeah.
And the worst thing is like I said, trying to outwork the person just to go backwards. Another thing is the vehicle's wrong, right? You literally have the wrong vehicle. And I hate when you talk about the hope deferred makes the heart sick. I remember people talking about dream boards and putting out your dreams in front of you and things like that. And I looked at some of these guys that have been in business for like 30 years. And they're still in the same position that Tally and I were at the time, you know, being brand new. And I'm sitting there thinking their dream boards must have been cut out of like, you know, Sears catalogs in the 50s, right? Yeah. And it's like black and white pictures of vacuum cleaners and like that type of stuff. And it made me sick. It really did. And I remember I was in the apprentice school at the shipyard here in Newport News. And I looked to my left and was literally a guy that had been there the whole time. And he was up to like designer manager or something like that, which was like underneath engineers, underneath everybody else. Meaning he never got past that point. He just never got anywhere. And the guy was literally a genius when it came down to what he did. But he never made any money. He probably made $20,000 more than I did, you know, which is great for somebody who's been working the same thing since he was 18 years old and he was now retiring. And this sadly happened right before the stock market crash in 2008. He lost half his retirement, retired anyway. It's sad. It really is pretty bad, but that's what happens, right? I mean, if you see that, you just have to say that, you know, or with it before he goes, like you see what people are doing that are in your, like, that could be your future.
Yeah. Looking in the mirror,
You don't want to do that. Right. So go out. I mean, out hustling, at least trying to outwork everybody is usually the remedy to any business ailment. It really is, right? Work harder. Sell more. List more items on eBay. List more items on Amazon. List more, sell more stuff on Poshmark.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the things that we do that, and this was like our last episode, right? That's what we talked about, wasn't it? I remember a while ago we did it, but it was, you know, not forgetting what got you to the place you are to begin with.
Yeah.
Right? What was the last thing we said?
Halfway doing anything, nothing good can come from that.
Yeah, nothing good's from halfway doing anything, right? You halfway, if you give 100% on working out, give 50% at your diet, you're going to have this much results, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So if you're...
We should know.
If you run, if you're in track, you're running at half speed at a race, you're going to lose.
Yeah. If you are in a marriage, but you're only halfway committed, that won't work.
You're fully committed. The two different women, so that's only halfway.
Right.
Yeah. That doesn't work that well.
No.
Because neither of them end up liking you. But then that's in life in general, right? That is way it is. Halfway doing anything is not going to get you done. You have to hustle. And everything that you do in life that's worth anything to you, that you believe in whatsoever, you have to hustle. You have to move fast.
Well, and, you know, to that point, you guys know we have four kids, and the two older ones get stuck with most of the cleaning. Actually, the oldest gets stuck with most of the cleaning because the second oldest, she likes to kind of look at butterflies and whatever goes by her head at the moment. But, you know, we ask them all the time to clean up, to do things to help us around the house because we do so much at the house already, and they're old enough to help. And
it's four of them.
Well, yeah. But I'm just saying the older two, they always halfway do stuff. So I'll say, hey, go throw this in the trash. And I'll go, and it'll be in front of the trash on the floor. So they halfway made it to the trash can, didn't quite make it in. And they think that's good enough. It's not. It's not good enough. So they're constantly getting, like, in trouble because they halfway do almost everything. And it's frustrating for us. So imagine how frustrating it would be for a customer of yours if they got a product that was halfway made, right? So would that customer be happy with you? No. And imagine if your spouse has a business and they make half the money they're supposed to. Would you be happy with that? And that's what you're relying on to support your family? No. So you got to hustle. You got to make sure that you are doing what you're supposed to do 100%, giving 100%, so that you guys can have the success that you want.
Mm-hmm. No one, I mean, if I, it's almost like what the word, first thing you think of when you say a word type thing is like, if I said to you, Talia, Taco Bell, like, what would I think of Taco Bell? Outside of disgusting.
Oh, I was going to say disgusting.
Yeah. Outside of that, what would I say?
Wrong order.
Right? And that's what you get. The correlation
word
between
association.
Word association is literally, as soon as I think of Taco Bell, I think of, I'm not going to get what I ordered. And they're going to be pissed off at me because I'm mad because I didn't get my order right.
Yeah.
They got my order wrong.
Yeah.
And I think of that McDonald's, same thing, right? Terrible food, never going to get your order right. Burger King, same thing. I had to get breakfast for everybody on Saturday. Forgot our order. And then I had to wait 10 minutes for them to forget that order too, right? Mm-hmm. But now you think I say Chick-fil-A, delicious. Order's always right.
And always with a smile.
Always with a smile. And I think that's the way it needs to be, guys, because they pay attention to details and they hustle. They get stuff done. They got a well-running machine there, well-oiled machine, and they just keep making it better and better too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you literally go to any – I don't know about where you guys are, but a Chick-fil-A here in Virginia – at least the ones around where we live, and there's always a line, like a wrapped around the place, right? Mm-hmm. A McDonald's, they'll have nobody there because, like, they suck. It's always wrong.
Or if you get in line at McDonald's, you're going to be sitting and waiting for a very long time. With Chick-fil-A, they have such a, like he said, well-oiled machine, and they're hustling so much that they have people outside taking your order,
rain or shine,
in the rain with their ponchos on, you know, smiling, saying thank you, you're welcome, you know, great attitudes, getting your orders so that you don't have to wait in a long line. Now that's a business where the customers are almost always happy. I've never seen anybody mad at Chick-fil-A, never. And you know why? Because they hustle.
Yeah, I'd rather wait in the line at Chick-fil-A with 20 cars ahead of me than 2 cars at McDonald's any day of the week, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'd go out of my way to get Chick-fil-A, right?
Yeah, it's true. So,
guys, I hope you guys somehow out of that episode. It really is all about the hustle, right? Look at what The Rock does. The Rock, literally, Dwayne Johnson, he'll tell you right away that the reason he wins is he's the hardest working guy in the room. Wherever he goes, he's the hardest working guy in the room, to the point of when people don't work as hard as him, it pisses him off. Like, AKA Vin Diesel, right? Wants to sit in his trailer all day, hanging out, you know, drinking lattes with his pinky up. I don't know what he's doing, but he's not working. I mean, he's not working hard. So never feel like you're entitled to anything, guys. Work your butt off no matter where you are. Always hustle. And you're doing these things because of your family. That's like the worst thing ever when people say, I can't afford to do things because I need to spend time with my kids. You need to spend time with your kids. So you need to do these things, and you need to do them faster and more efficiently and better, right?
Yeah.
So hope you guys got some of the episode. Anything else you want to say?
That's it, guys. Go hustle. Go eat some Chick-fil-A. And have a great day.
Hey, have a good one. See you next week.